You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, did you think I seen something strange? You know, Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. How are you? We're doing wonderful. This is TJ with Searching for Bigfoot, and we got a show for you tonight, guys. We are going to gather the whole brand new year together, and we're going to have a round table and discuss Bigfoot. We're going to ask questions. We're going to bring up responses. We're going to talk about the creature. We're going to let you know what we all think instead of just kind of talking to each individual this time. And so that way you can get to know one another and understand the phenomenon currently known as Bigfoot. Marco, how's everything going? Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you too there,
Happy
TJ,
New Year.
And everyone else.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'd like to say who we have online here tonight. And we got Kelly, Audrey, got Rocky, Richard from New York, TJ, and Marco Bill. Our friend Francis did not come in. He may come in later, or maybe he remembers.
Well, we'll bring him in then. That's all that matters.
That's all right. But I'd like to make an announcement for a couple of things that are sort of new.
Go.
I have a new a broadcast that's broadcast 24/7, and it's called the Bigfoot Live Radio Show, and it's archived. But instead of going to the archive and have to select one from 10 years ago or today or whatever, I basically just lined them up on a player, and they play 24 hours a day, and you can go up and listen 24 hours a day to Bigfoot Live every single 450 after this one shows.
Oh.
So now if you look at our webpage at www.bigfootlive.com, bigfootliveradio.com, and you look in the upper portion of the webpage, you'll see that's where you select the different pages you view. And on there, it'll have archive, player, and in the Bigfoot Live, BFLR 24/7. When you click on that page, on the left side, you're going to have a player where you can select all the old, it only has all the old ones in it. The new ones are already on the new, broadcaster, on the podcast and everything. You can get those on iTunes as well. But you can select any of the tunes that you want all the way, or any of the programs you want all the way back to quite a ways, goes way back. But if you listen to the channel, you'll on the right side, you'll see there's a player or a very list of players with links. And it depends upon what kind of player you use on your computer, and you click on that player, and you'll come up with the Bigfoot Live Radio on it. Now, it's currently shut down. I'm doing maintenance on it. But after the show is over in a little bit, it'll be back up again, and it'll be playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime you want to listen to a program, just you can get one of those links. I'm going to put some links on Facebook and on Twitter, and we'll also have links on it. Okay.
So, Marco, so what you're saying is our listeners now can go online to our BigfootLiveRadioShow.com, click on a tab or a box, and it'll just continuously play shows from the past all the way up to the future without any interruption?
That's it.
Oh, my God.
It's just
awesome.
Continuous. Now,
continuous.
I may put some...
So we're looking at 12 years here, aren't we? Are we, Marco? Are we
about
12
10 years,
mark yet?
10 years. Well, it's 10 years.
10 years.
We started in 2005, but 2005, it's coming up on 11 years, but September 13th, 2006, I think, is when we started the first show.
Wow.
And,
so 56 weeks in the year, or no, 52 weeks, 52 weeks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
52 weeks, oh my goodness, that's a lot of shows, Marco.
You ain't a kidding. Not only that, but there's some specials in there as well. We made specials.
Yeah.
At one point in time, if everybody remembers, in San Francisco, we had a we were on
That's
an AM
right.
station in San Francisco.
That's right. Did you record
those shows are in there as well, somewhere in there.
Oh my goodness!
Plus,
I remember
the
doing
special
that.
Ones we did at Parris Island when you guys went out to Parris Island with the a troop of about 30 people, and you split into five teams. If you can remember that, yeah,
I remember.
And there was three specials I made, three 30-minute specials. If you recall, our good friend was laying in his tent, and the winds came, and the tornado came, and tumbled him upside down, and he thought there was a Bigfoot trying to get in the tent with him.
I remember that.
Roger Peterson.
Yeah. Outstanding. Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, you know, Marco Bill has got this taken, you know, and put this together. You go to www.bigfootliveradio.com. You click on the tab that says 24/7, and you just, to your heart's content. You listen until you're bored, and you want to turn it off. Now, Marco, have we updated that to where they can hear that on their iPhones or iPods and all that?
I'm gonna get all that information together this weekend, and I'll have it out. And people can, all it is a link, and they can use the same link that's on the web page, and they can copy it, and they can
put
it on
whatever. Okay, so if you have a smartphone, it'll work.
But okay. I'll have a player link that you can put in a player, or you know you, a lot of people have player their own players, right? And you go web, and it'll have a player. I'll have the address for that, and the channel, and all that stuff on it. I'll have all that information available, and I'll put it on Facebook and Twitter.
So people can go back and listen to 10 years. Worth of us talking about Bigfoot to all the people we've spoken to across the U.S. and the planet and pick up information. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
See, folks, this is 2017. Things are going to change.
And not only that, looking forward to the future,
yeah.
I also I'm working on a video, an expedition video program for you guys.
Okay.
So when you're on expedition, you can basically
that's the live feed thing
people,
you were talking
people,
about.
That's it. People can tune into the live feed right there in the right from the when every day you if you're on a expedition every day you can have a half an hour or whatever where you tune in and you put a program out that when you're going to do that right on Facebook and and a link. And the people can click on that link on Facebook, and boom. And if you're, we may have memberships where people want to be a member. We don't know yet how we're going to run it. But if you're a member, if it's a membership thing and you're a member, then automatically there'll be an email, a link, email to every member, and all they got to do is click on the link, and boom, they're in. And you
how
can watch live TV right there, and the interviews. Any of the videos that you guys have taken while you're there, pictures, anything that you have, you can show, and you can do it from a half an hour starting out probably, but you know because you don't want to do it too long, but a half an hour, maybe an hour a day, or half an hour a day, and that would keep everybody up to date. I mean, right there. So that's what's coming.
I love technology. I love technology. It just gets better every year, folks. You know, you're going to be able to join us live, besides Facebook Live, which we've been doing, on Bigfoot Live Radio. So you'll be able to come on, log in with your phone, your computer, whatever kind of device you have, tablet, iPhone, iPad, Samsung, and you'll be able to log in and live get the video. And if I remember correctly, Marco, we talked about it, they'll be able to interact with us. Is that true?
Yes, they can. As a matter of fact, there's a chat thing right on it, both voice and chat, either voice or chat, and it'll take up to 1,000 people at a time.
Now, folks, if you don't understand the meaning of that, you have to understand. It would be like me being in the field, interviewing somebody, or seeing what I'm seeing. And being able to reach out to you instead of calling just one person on the phone and going, folks, I'm here. I'm looking at these prints. There's 12 of them. What do you think? Help me out here. Do we debunk this? Is this a hoax? Is this real? You can interact with us live while we're on an expedition and we're on for those 30 minutes and let us know what you think. And you know something, folks? We may think it's 100%, but maybe you see something that we don't, and you could bring it to our attention. I think technology is wonderful. Marco,
that's what's
I just
coming
want to
forward.
Thank you.
And it's not going to be very long. It's going to maybe a couple more weeks to start it out. I got to test everything out here before we put it there. We got to test it, and then when we take it in the field, we're going to test it before we actually apply it.
Okay.
We just don't want to. We don't have any kind of a major issues everybody gets anxious when they get on these things, right? I remember when I first started the radio show, the first time it went down.
Goodness.
Everybody's ready.
I remember where we were. We were in Mississippi. We were in a hotel room. We got hotels that time, so we wouldn't mess it up. And I remember our first radio show. It lasted 2 hours. And with all the technical difficulties and the glitches, I remember, oh, my goodness. Yep. Okay, folks, let's get on with the show. You're here for the list talking about Bigfoot. That's what we're here for tonight.
By the way,
we're
TJ, Sarah came in too. Sarah can ask questions as well. Sarah, if you want, you can. We're going to have a kind of a Bigfoot conference here, and you're allowed to ask questions during the thing. Okay.
We're having a roundtable. Okay. Awesome. So, folks, we're going to do a roundtable tonight. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to discuss Bigfoot, the enigma, the hoaxes, the things that have happened in 2016 that have brought us to where we're at today, and what we're going to do in 2017. And you know something? A round table, just like King Arthur used to do, used to ask questions to his knights. What should we do? How should we approach this? What are the things we need to do as a community to help move forward the agenda of us searching for Bigfoot and proving that this creature exists? Now, with that said, I wanted to introduce my guests and let you guys all know a little bit about each one of them, which is about 30 seconds to a minute. They're going to explain themselves and who they are, what they're doing in the Bigfoot community, and then we're going to move on to our questions. So first off, we've got Audrey from Kentucky. We've got Richard in New York. We've got Kelly, the master man from Texas. We've got the Rocky Slavens out in Arkansas. Audrey, introduce yourself to everybody. Tell them about what Bigfoot and what you've done, and let us know about you a little bit.
Well, this is Audrey. I'm down here in Kentucky. I've been having encounters with Bigfoot for quite a while now, and several different interactions, different types, species of them. That's ongoing, nonstop, pretty much. I think they're ready to move in. That pretty much sums it up.
All right. Audrey, thank you. We got Richard coming from New York, and you guys know who Richard is. He's up there in New York, and he's, well, I'm going to leave it to him. Richard, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you think about Bigfoot, what he is, and when are we going to catch him?
Hi, everybody. This is Richard. I live in New York, and I've had two eye sightings, and I actually spent a couple of days with Tom up in Elmira filming a pilot for a TV show, and in my opinion, Bigfoot is a hybrid, either a hybrid of a primate and a hominid, or just some relic hominid. And that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Richard. Now we're going to go with Kelly out in Texas. Give us a little bit about yourself, Kelly.
Just your typical Texas man. You know, we like our outdoors, and, you know, we seem to understand nature quite well. One thing I have to say to people out there, you know, you need to understand what's out there and get used to, you know, the sounds and the things that are supposed to be there and things that you can't explain, because the ones you can't explain are the ones you're looking for. And, you know, that's about it.
Great point, Kelly. And, folks, you know, last but not least is the Rocky Slavens, my brother, my good friend, and expedition member. Come on, Rocky, tell us a little bit about you and the Bill by Bigfoot.
Well, not much to tell about me other than the fact that I'm one of the handsomest men in the world. And I'm a man of few words.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. No, I'm just an old Arkansas boy that had the encounter and been running with the Searching for Bigfoot team ever since. Good company, good times. Just everything's good. Love the boys, and I'm ready to go again.
Outstanding. Now, folks, if you're just kind of tuning in right now, we're having a roundtable. We're with what I believe are the Bigfoot experts in the community. Let me rephrase. Let me back up a little bit. I don't know if we can call ourselves Bigfoot experts. None of them have been captured. But Bigfoot enthusiasts that have had encounters, know about the creature, know how to track them, have seen them, And, well, frankly, no, he exists. So, guys,
TJ,
I want to throw something.
TJ,
yes.
one thing. Francis has just come in, too. Francis, how are
oh,
you doing?
Oh, my goodness. Francis from Glacier National Park up in Montana. How are you?
Good.
Now, you guys, you got to understand, Francis is the definite man of few words, okay? So, bear with me. Francis, we're having a roundtable about the creature tonight, okay? And we're going to discuss the creature, what's going on, internet, world, area we live in, and we're just going to kind of throw stuff back and forth. Here, the only two rules are somebody asks a question or makes a statement. Before somebody replies, they would go, hey, this is Johnny from Hoboken. Here's my response. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Francis. How's your wife, Jocelyn, doing?
I'm really good.
She's right here.
Jocelyn, good to hear your voice. Give him a little tickle, because you know how we can be on the radio.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so guys, I have to tell you, you know, today I got an email from a person that said, Tommy, you have to check this video out. There's a guy, we don't know where he's at yet, I'm still working on it, but he claims to have a Bigfoot foot. In 1954, his dad and some other hunters were out wherever they were at, and they were hunting in an area where there were a bunch of cottontails. And I can't remember what he said, but when the cottontails die, they fall to the ground, and the water and the mush becomes mush. So they're out there hunting, and a creature comes running out from the other side of the tree line at him, and they start shooting at the creature. Now, he says in his video that the creature's feet acted like snowshoes on the muck or the decaying cattails, okay? And as it was running towards them, they were shooting at it because they were afraid. Well, they ended up shooting it dead because it wouldn't stop. And he makes claims of this, that the creature was dead in front of all the whole hunting party, and it took them, they had to have wire cutters to cut the veins. The veins were so,
and as it was running towards them, they
were so dense that they had to use wire cutters. They had to have saws that took hours to cut through the bone. And he unveiled a Bigfoot foot. He says that they have an arm, a leg, a torso, and it took them more than a day. They had to cut it up to drag the creature out. Now, I watched the video, and I was enthralled. And he kept saying that, you know, his dad had given it to him, passed it on. It was frozen. And he put it on a table, and he would push it around, like, and you could tell that it was frozen, whatever it was, because when he touched it, it would slide across the table. The hair looked like it was all matted up and frozen. But I just don't know. Have any of you guys seen this video?
No.
Audrey, anybody?
No, I haven't seen it. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Richard?
No, I haven't.
How about you, Kelly?
It's a mystery to me, and I search the internet quite often.
Okay. You know, this is the first time I've seen this video, guys. And, you know, like yourselves, I get so much garbage sent to me. But this video intrigued me. So, wow. I can't believe that nobody else has seen it. It makes me believe that there might be some credibility to it. I don't know where he's from. I'm going to start digging and jumping on the internet. But pretty much if you were to Google Bigfoot dead foot frozen, you'll find it on YouTube, okay? It's still pretty new. There was only 130 views on it when I saw it, which is a good thing, you know. So it's either an elaborate hoax or it's not. So I want to shoot out to Rocky real fast. Rocky, what do you think about that kind of stuff? And then anybody else can chime in.
Well, you know, I'm on a flip phone, and I know how to turn on the computer, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, right. I asked you. Oh, my goodness.
But the fact is, not having seen it, a man the first thought would be, well, you know, somebody's blowing smoke. But then again, you did see it. And if it's sliding across the table as like it's frozen, that much is true. And, you know, the looks of it itself, without having seen it, if you've seen it, you know, I've got to go along with what you say.
Well, you know, folks, I prepare as much as I can, and I'm actually going to log into my computer, and I'm going to give everybody the website. And if you have access, I would love for you to go there and look. Just, you know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever. I don't know. But, Kelly, what do you think about these things that people are perpetrating and kind of throwing up on YouTube? Do you think it's all a bunch of just hooey so they can get attention, or is it really what's going on?
Well, you know, it's like anything else, DJ. You know, there's some truth in some of it. You know, there's going to be those that just want to get a little notoriety and, you know, play games. But then there's some of it that there's some truth in everything. So you have to look at what looks most rational and the stuff that looks more fabricated. You know, like somebody's going to say they have a frozen part. I've put animal heads and fish in the freezer that I was going to have mounted. And the longer they're in there, the more ice builds up on them. And the ice that builds up on them is white because it's frost. And you can't even see through it. So if you can see through that ice, how new is the ice?
Good point. Good point, Kelly. I didn't think about it. Okay, guys. So I found it. If you were to search on YouTube, it's under Bigfoot Severed Ankle and Foot Unveiled. Only known physical proof of Sasquatch. Now, I'm going to put that on our Facebook page just so you guys can look at it, whether it's tonight or later. But, guys, when I look at this, I'm the skeptic. You have to remember that. You know, I was the first person to call my dad a kook, okay, until I saw the creature. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's just the way it happened. But this guy in the video, and I see that he only has like 130 views, it's not gotten out to everybody. So I don't know if he's been tainted yet. Richard, what do you think about that?
Well, as far as stuff on YouTube and even some of the other programs,
right?
If it sounds, I'm listening to some of these other programs that are on, and they have guests on, and they make every sighting sound like an adventure show. Guy sitting on the back of a four-wheeler, and they went target shooting, and they're shooting hundreds of rounds because the creatures surrounded them, which
right.
makes all kinds of red flags come up, in my opinion, DJ.
Okay.
I'm skeptical of most people when they put something on now on YouTube. Because people are just looking to hoax. They're looking to make themselves feel big. You got to really discriminate at what you look at.
Right.
And the gentleman said, that should have so much ice on it that you couldn't see it after all these years. And anybody knows that this, if you shoot one of these things, these guys, these so-called hunters, they probably wouldn't have never got out of there alive because these things are never alone.
If you shoot
one, you're gonna be harassed and chased out of where you are. You're not gonna have time to cut it up.
Right. Now he claims And this is the only thing that I worried about, like yourself. I says, if you're shooting at it and its skin is as tough as whatever you're claiming to be, and I know that there's always more than one around. If you shoot one or you see one, there has to be 3 to 5 around. Would you guys all agree with me?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play an excerpt from his video and just let you guys listen for a second. Maybe you'll pick up on something that I didn't. But it's pretty crazy. I posted it up there, so if you guys have Facebook, you can go there to see it. And I'm going to turn the volume up here, and I want you to listen. Let me get over here for a second. Oh, God, he's low. So I'm going to try. So check it out, guys.
Shoot, God, it was early in the morning, so it's just right about that time.
Can you guys hear it at all?
No, it's coming just barely.
Okay, hold on.
You know, every year they go up.
Can you guys hear it at all?
Can you hear me now?
So no. So you guys can't hear it?
I can't.
No, I think I'm a true TJ.
Okay. I just wanted to give it a shot. But, you know.
TJ, this is Richard, TJ. You know that if you shoot one, we're saying that they're in family groups, all right?
Right.
How big, we don't really know yet. But also, if you shoot one, there's a good chance that the government's not going to let you take a body out of there, sit there and carve it up. And
well, I agree, Richard. What do you guys think?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, they won't. And that guy out there talking about what he did, if it's true, the government will come and take all his evidence away, and it'll just be a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that. Trust
me.
Do
you think they'll turn that into a hoax? Which makes
sense.
Yes,
they will. Yeah, because they're doing something around my property. They're getting wind of me, so I'm noticing some weird stuff with them. Yeah.
The government will discredit you.
I think we did this about a couple years ago. We did an investigation of all the different states. Tom had all of us taking a look, and what we found out was Texas is the only state that is. If you killed a Bigfoot, that you wouldn't be prosecuted for some sort of a crime. In every other state there is, even though Bigfoot isn't defined as a species, there are game laws that would everything from second degree murder to manslaughter. I don't know. I think it's manslaughter is what they said.
So something that doesn't exist, if you shoot it, you can be convicted of manslaughter. Kelly, what do you got to say about that Texas law?
Or I'm glad I'm in Texas. So
Texas
I guess
is the only
you're
state
gonna
that
have to, you're
Texas.
Gonna have, yeah, you're going to have to come hang out with me a little bit more because this is the only place you're not going to get any trouble.
That's it.
I think the fish and game here in Arkansas. And they assured me that if you kill a non-existent animal, you're in the clear.
So we're okay in Arkansas also.
Right.
Hey, does everybody agree, TJ?
Yeah, Richard?
That the government kind of keeps tabs on these things, that the Department of Interior or whoever it is, and
I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
You know? What about you guys? What do you guys all think?
100% they do it.
I have no problem with that. I'm pretty sure that they did.
No, Rocky, you're a little bit different than all of us. But okay, guys.
Well, I think we can go back to 1894. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We had a guy on one of our shows way back in the probably the fourth show we had. His name was Lyle Billet. And he spoke English. The guy that took the pictures is the guy that he was a French Canadian, and he went up to the Seven Chutes, and he went up to the Seven Chutes and he took some pictures, and he took a picture of a dog-faced Bigfoot, and that's on the internet still. If you want to look at the Beasts of the Seven Chutes, and we had several people make write-ups of the analyzation of the photograph. Plus, we also did expeditions, if you recall there, TJ, into Wisconsin with Linda Godfrey, Jan Thompson, and the Land Between the Lakes. All those areas we went, and now this is only one, this is a species of Bigfoot that does not have the normal Bigfoot characteristics. It has a dog face, pointed ears, it has dog canine legs. In other words, they're the backward joints, right? And it walks on 2 feet. Yeah, and it walks on 2 feet. Now, myself, I've received calls from Minnesota, from West Virginia. There were, four different states that I received calls, just me, received calls on sightings of that type of a creature. Down in Mississippi, Mississippi. In fact, the Choctaw people down there, they also said that they had that species. Now, the one thing that I want to know, you see, I think we're pretty sure there are several different species of this creature. We call it
Bigfoot. We all agree upon that.
Yeah, we call it Bigfoot, but there are the actual DNA of several of the things that we've gotten are different. Each one is different. One even includes near human, okay?
Right.
And they noted it was angelic, although we've never gotten the DNA, the mitochondrial DNA results back, and the guy that used to do it for us, of course, he died last year or year before last. He died, and of course, the person that had it kept all of the our samples that we put in, plus the 80 samples that other people had put in to try to make a paper. But the big thing is that many of the DNA results that we got back were different, at least three different varieties. And the variety, the one that I think Rocky, you know, the one that attacked you?
Mm-hmm.
That Tom had the DNA results done on it by UC Davis over here, and it came back as a 6-foot variety of a chimpanzee, because it looked like a chimp, right? Or it looked like a gorilla, kind of an ape, kind of an animal, right?
It looked chimpanzee-like.
Yeah, but it came back mitochondrial DNA was the scientific name for chimpanzee with something else, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
What was that, Rocky?
In fact,
pan troglodyte.
Pan troglodyte. That's what it was.
Yes, and it's known in Africa. It was there's never been a real sighting of it. Except for one in 1925, sometime in there, in the area in Africa where they're currently having all the wars, and called the lion. It's called the lion killer. It's a lion killing chimp. So, and they're pretty big. They're about 6 foot.
Think about that, lion killing chimp. Think about that, folks. That's a bad
excuse me, guys.
Yeah.
The name of that ape is called a billy ape.
That's correct. It's a billy ape.
Billy ape. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's
Thank
what
you,
it's
Richard.
Called. But the scientific name
in the Congo.
But that's the name that Rocky said it was is the
scientific name.
The pan troglodyte is also known as the billy or the. The one that, according to the people, I can't remember who it was that actually put their finger on it, but they said that it was the belly ape from that was only found in the belly forest in the Congo.
Now, that's my correct. Question is this. Are these creatures still around today? Rocky, Marco, Bill, anybody?
I think
well, I the question I have isn't that they're around. How did they get in Arkansas?
Wow, what a great point.
Yes.
But it was just a little ways from a government installation.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and that's
so
a whole
that
other story for a whole other show, guys. You know,
well,
I want to reach out to Francis and Jocelyn up north where it's snowing right now. And, you know, folks, we were up there and we got wind of, well, the creatures were taking their dead and carrying them off into the mountain ranges and burying them in a cave. Now, we were there, we took our time, we looked as much as we could while we were there, and we had our right hand, which is Francis and his wife Jocelyn, and I gotta say, guys, if you're ever up there and you get the opportunity to get fried bread tacos from Jocelyn, it's the best in the world. Best in the world, guys. And if you don't know what I mean by fried bread taco, then you'll just have to Google it. But Francis, you're still with us, right? Francis?
Yeah. Oh, this is Jocelyn. Francis.
Hi,
is...
Jocelyn. How are you?
I know.
You know, I love Francis like a brother, but you speak more than he does. So, you know, I want to kind of shoot off to the parts of the mountain ranges up there, the glaciers, where we heard the stories through the tribe that these creatures would take their dead up into the mountains and bury them in caves. Has anything transpired upon that, and what do you have to say about it?
Well, I was told, we heard, was that there's caves out in these mountains. And, these mountains are, you know, you've been up here, so you know that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
They're, you know, that nobody goes, like way back into those mountains. There's a mountain called Yellow Mountain, and it's about
3
miles northwest. It's by Chief Mountain. It's towards the border of Alberta and Montana. It's about 40 miles from Browning, and there's caves back there. That's another spot we can check out when you guys come back up this way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another spot that's rumored to be a burial spot for these creatures.
Now, folks, you have to wrap your minds around what she just said. Okay? You know, we're traversing the U.S. and Canada and everywhere. Now, if these creatures, which makes sense to me, when their spouses, elders, children die, and they treat them, remember, now we're going back thousands of years. Remember, there are certain burial grounds that people get buried at. It doesn't matter if they happened in California. If the burial ground was in New York, they would carry the body back to the burial ground that was sacred to them. This shows intelligence. These creatures are carrying their dead back to burial grounds where they cannot be disturbed. And if you think that's crazy, wait a minute. We'll even back up. Let's go to the Egyptians, the Aztecs, the Native Americans down in Nicaragua. Well, us ourselves, we take our – doesn't matter where we die, our family brings the bodies back to home and what's normal to us. Now, here's my question to everybody on the panel tonight. Does that make sense to you? And do you think that's something that could be valid? Let's start with Kelly out in Texas. Well, we'll move over to Rocky in Arkansas. Are you there, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't hear you for a second. It went kind of blank.
Okay, we were talking about the creatures taking their dead, no matter where they were at, and carrying them back to their familiar area and burying them where it was sacred to them.
Well, you know, when you think about that, there may be places like that all over the United States. You know, they could be anywhere. Anywhere we have, you know, caves or certain underground, you know, dwellings that they've known about for centuries. You know, they've been roaming our forests since before we showed up. So, and it makes sense, you know. Anything with a conscience of family and oriented with, you know, a group or a pack theory, they generally take care of each other. And elephants do the same thing. You know, think about it. They mourn their dead for years.
Yeah.
So something that's a hominid is just as intelligent as we are, you know, so they're bound to have some sort of ties.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Kelly. I mean, you know, all my life I've heard about the mysterious elephant graveyards, and I'm trying to think back if I've ever seen anything on TV where it actually is, and I don't think I have. Has anybody out there heard or seen about where the elephants, you know, go and die?
I've just heard when they're dying, they'll go to that place and lay there and die to their grave spot when they know they're dying. That's all
right.
I've heard out there. I've never know where, but I've heard that.
Well, they showed it. This is Marco Bill. They showed it in the Tarzan movie.
Yeah, they sure did.
They did. Keep that thing to where it goes.
Hey, guys, this is Richard.
Hey, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi. I think the creatures, at least some of them, we said there's different types. Some of them are either hominid or a hybrid of a hominid and a primate. And I think they're either, you would say they either lived in clans or they were tribal. And,
okay, Richard, you got to stop.
Their intelligence
Richard,
is far.
Richard, what is the difference between clan and tribal for our listeners?
Not much. One is a family group, clan, and tribal is a group of families that are together.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think
you want to be clear.
They might have adopted from either observing or it was just their nature. Native American tendencies to bury their dead. They watch all the time. They're intelligent. They're not dumb. They're very intelligent.
Okay. Well, we can all agree upon that, I'm sure. Right, guys?
Definitely.
We would have found it by now.
That's true.
Exactly. Good point. We would have found it by now if they weren't.
And if they were found, DJ, not to cut you off, but if they were found, who's to say the government didn't come in and stop it being found? I'm telling you, I believe that.
Well, I'm not arguing that with you.
Yeah.
Look, if you know you are guys, we can go with the climate of America right now. Okay.
All right.
There are six different races in the U.S. of A., and there are five races that are pretty much trying to hide from everything. Otherwise, they're going to get taken away, put in jail, et cetera. I'm not going to get into politics. But
Right. Remember,
that's where we're at now today in the world. Think about these creatures with their intelligence and back then. And you had Homo erectus, Homo sapien. You had the Gigantopithecus, the one out of Africa. I can't think of it right now. But remember, one of them killed off the other, okay? And if there was a smaller, lesser race, which was Bigfoot, that was intelligent and realized that these two factions are fighting, we have to hide. There's less of us. We have to protect ourselves to preserve our lifespan. And I know it's way out there. I know it's kind of crazy. But that's my thoughts, guys, on Bigfoot.
If it was,
well, yeah.
If it was proved,
I'd like to say one thing. This is Marco Bill. TJ, and we know this already. I'm just going to say it. Okay. There are 100 plus. There's 100 plus Native American tribes in the United States, and every single tribe, every single one, has Bigfoot as either a good spirit or a bad spirit or a good omen or a bad omen. It depends on the tribe and it depends on how they view the creature. But many of them acknowledge it as a brother. In fact, we say creature. They don't like that. Because to them, it's brother. Okay? And in their terms, nature, which most they term, you know, they term the instead of
Marco, you're losing us. You're breaking up. I want to shoot over to Jocelyn and Francis to kind of explain what you're going if they're listening. Jocelyn, Francis, you there?
Oh, yes, we're here.
Okay. Could you hear what Marco was saying? I know he started breaking up, but you might have heard the beginning. What do you think about that, being Native Americans?
Well, being Native American, I think these creatures are more like connect to us because they're like they live in tribes just like us, so we consider them like a brother type of, you know, like all creatures to us
like
have a place.
Okay.
Yeah, have a place, and you know, like a bear, it's like a bear. They all have meanings to us. Just like, you know, there's Bigfoot or Sasquatch. He has meaning to us, and he is like, you know, like a brother, I guess. Well,
okay, can you speak on how some of the Native Americans, it's a taboo to see them, and others, it's a benefit to see, and why it's that?
Well, different tribes, they believe in different. We all have our different beliefs. Like, certain tribes, I guess, interpret different things a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, to us, seeing a Bigfoot, it's like a blessing or a, you know, like a warning sometimes, or they bring messages, like it's a messenger, kind of, yeah. So,
it could be either or.
Yeah. To us, like the Blackfeet, to me, it's a blessing. If you see one, well, there's something coming. It's not a bad thing.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Hey, does anybody have anything to add to what Jocelyn was saying or Marco Bill?
Hey, the only thing I've got to add, TJ.
Yeah, Richard. Yeah.
If today we proved that Sasquatch, Bigfoot existed, I think within 20 years they would cease to exist.
Oof.
They would either wiped out or put on some in zoos or put on some kind of small little preserves or reservations. The fear would be too much.
Okay, so here's my question. Is if we found out they existed, and this could be anybody can answer it, how can we keep something that, well, some people think is intelligent, some people think it's non-intelligent, on a reservation or in a zoo, which we know kills a lot of wild animals in the first couple generations, and until you get past those generations and they've had more, they get more comfortable living in our cages, okay, to exist. Anybody?
This is Jocelyn. I think in order, like, if they were to put it on a reservation, I think that is not a good thing because, you know, all the tribes, we believe, like, it's a, you know, it's a spiritual being. Right. All the tribes, they would come together and there would be a big protest, like the pipeline.
Right.
They'll have a big gathering, you know, support each other because I don't think that would be a good thing.
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, Audrey, you've been quiet, and it's disturbing me, so I got to ask you what your opinion is, baby.
They're wild animals. Even though they're could be related to us, they've been out in the wild. They're nature. They're part of nature. They're not like us. If they wanted to be part of us and we're close, I think they would have came out a long time ago out of the woods. They're happy. We're
good
not.
Point.
They're very happy. They have no stress. They don't eat all this stuff put in the foods, you know, all this artificial flavors. They get all natural. That artificial flavoring does so much to the human body, it's unreal. But they're happy. Wherever they're at, wherever they roam, they're happy. They won't be contained. It's like containing a biker. Get off your bike. Can't ride. Right. And I believe
so what you're
says,
saying
right.
is that we need to stop looking for them, stop trying to contain them, and let them be who they are. And just go on with our lives, which Audrey, I know you.
Well, I don't mean go on with your life, but yeah, we're all curious. We want to know where they came from, what they're about.
Can we
talk to them? Can we connect with them? It's a part of human nature to be curious about something. That's what we're, you know, humans do. They go out here, conquer the whole world. That's what we're about. We're top of the chain.
Exactly.
Game.
Conquer the whole world. And I come from a military background, spent many years as an Army Ranger, and I know all we want to do is kill everything. Okay,
bingo.
As sad as it is, we want to kill everything we don't understand and put it on display somewhere so people can look at it. Go ahead.
I think that if you take one down, put it on the table, the world knows about it. I guarantee you, within the next 3 days, it will be so illegal to hunt, harm, harass them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
should have done been in,
I disagree. I totally disagree.
They shouldn't shoot them.
If one is shot and killed and is proven, put on a slab, that everybody in the U.S., in Canada, in Russia, in Australia, wherever they're at, all the hunters are going to start thinking to themselves, I got to have another trophy. Nobody has put a no harm on this creature. And even if it does have a no shoot, you know, order, they're going to go get it because they want it, because these creatures didn't exist. Exact same as if an alien spaceship landed in Arizona, we'd put a whole bunch of tanks on it and blow it up so we could have the pieces to figure out what we were doing and re-engineer all the technology. Sorry to say, that's my opinion. No,
tell me if
I'm wrong, guys. Anybody?
I'll go along with that for all of the cutthroats. But I have so many people that just absolutely hate my guts because I deer hunt. People that hates my guts because I shoot wild hogs. And, you know, they're the most destructive thing in Arkansas. They hate me because I kill animals, and they will do anything. There's so many people out there that would do anything to stop.
Go ahead. Go ahead, whoever was speaking.
All I got to say, TJ,
is
just think about Cabela's, bass fishing, hunting, camping. If people realized that these things were real, it would put such a crimp on those industries that it would kill them. Because nobody's going to go out in the woods if they know an 800-pound, 10-foot monster's out there for real.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. But not everybody's
but we
weak.
Are, yeah,
could I say
go
something?
Go ahead.
This is Marco Bill. One thing to take note of. This is back in 1894 in Canada, and a forestry a logging company owned a large portion of the woods and stuff around, and they shot a Bigfoot. There's a picture. They took a picture of it. They had four pictures, and they kept them in a drawer for like many, many, many years, and one of the guys that worked there kept the pictures and took it, and I still have a picture of it. It was made on silver nitrate, and basically what they were afraid of
they never let anybody know. They kept it hidden, and the reason they kept it hidden was their fear that if anybody found out that there was this kind of a creature in the forests, that the forests would be reserved and logging would go away. And that's the reason. And I think that's the same reason today, in many instances, in many different areas.
Would the state think, would include?
Right.
Yeah,
they would.
But
too much money. Too much money.
Well, is there any documentary of them killing any humans anywhere? I don't know.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's up in the air.
Okay. The Land Between the Lakes
yes.
was an issue with Jan Thompson. Yep. There were a couple others. I can't recall.
Right.
Jan Thompson, where a family was decimated. But we don't know the circumstances around it. We don't even know what kind of a Bigfoot it was or whatever.
I got to interview Marco real quick. Did you say you have a picture on silver nitrate from a logging company? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So when are we going to get to see this?
About 10 years ago. I'll send it to you. Well, I had it posted on the webpage a long time ago.
Okay.
I
post it on our Facebook page. We have to see it. Everybody has to see it. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah.
You know, now I want to get out to the hunter because I know he's the great white hunter because I've met him and I've been with him, and he's Kelly. Kelly, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, I think the first person to tag and bag one is going to be more famous than Donald Trump. You know, so I want to be that guy. You know, I'm sure you do too. You
bag
know?
And tag. What do you mean bag and tag? Kill it.
Yeah.
Why can't you use a tranquilizer to knock it out? Why do you have to kill it?
I've got pictures. I've got footprints. I've got evidence. And look, I really don't know what would knock one out. You know, so you know, I just that's the way I feel. So once you take the first one and you put it out in the public and people to see it, then they'll protect the rest of them. But
I agree.
Gonna have to
I agree.
But usually got to kill one for people to protect it.
You know, Audrey, we've killed everything on this planet. We as hunters and people have killed everything, put it in museums, and it took all of that before we went, we can't kill the white-spotted owl. That beetle can't be killed no more.
Why can't they just tranquilize it? Just tranquilize
because
it, knock it out. Knock an elephant out, but you can't knock
it. Nobody has been able to tranquilize one and bring it back alive.
Well,
and
I'm sure they can make it powerful enough to knock them out.
All right, can I say something there?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Rocky.
You go in with the tranquilizer, and you shoot it, and you find the tranquilizer is not strong enough, and then they find pieces of you later. Then again, you go in there and you use the wrong kind or too strong a tranquilizer, and you've still got a dead body to go on the slab.
Well
at least you try to do it nice.
When we shoot an animal with a tranquilizer, okay, it does not just fall to the ground. You have to chase it.
Chase it, yeah.
Okay? And find
or get
it. Okay? So these creatures, remember, guys, you know, we're not shooting at something that's out in the open, and we've got a mile of open ground that we can watch it fall down, okay? Most of the times when we see these creatures, it's thick, dense, swampy, woody area, okay?
Right.
And when we shoot it, just like we shoot a deer with a 30-06, you have to chase that deer, follow the blood trail. We don't always find those deers. So the creature died for nothing.
That's true.
So just shooting it with a tranquilizer and letting it run off into the woods and we don't find it does nobody any good.
Can't you do
That's
the math?
That's how I look at it.
The math can't be done?
Here's one thing I'd like to say.
Go ahead.
Because there are several different species of this creature. We know that that a couple of them are just hominids of near human. The genomes within
One is with so, the genome, the other was with the genome.
So you shoot it and you kill it.
No, there's one species that says it's human. So now, if you're going to go out and kill something, what if you kill a human? What if it's human?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's
zombie.
I can't hear you breaking up.
You're breaking up, Marco. Audrey, what was saying was that, you know, you go out and you kill it, and,
right.
and you know, you're killing it anyway. The creature runs off, and you don't find it.
Right.
What happens? You know, there's still no proof. So there's
right.
more people killing other ones, and these creatures are going to have to, like we talked about before, guys, that when you see one, there's more than one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You've killed one. It's gone. You can't find it. It's dead. It decomposes. Now you're going to have to do another one. I think that's what Marco was trying to say.
Well, the way I'm looking at it, my crazy way, maybe it sounds crazy, is you do the math. How much do they weigh? How tall are they? What percentage of a do you have to put in that tube to knock it out? That's called doing the math. And if you do shoot it and you blow its head off and you kill it for displayed, what if something walks out and they're like a 3-year-old little baby? It's a baby, and they look so much like human. It's ungodly real. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself knowing I did something that something looks so much like human.
The thing of it is, everybody on the line reads the same. I'm sure.
The thing of it is, with the tranquilizer, you don't know what it is. I mean, yeah, you can use something that knocks a horse out. But it might not have that much of an effect on the creature.
But you don't know.
If you're strong enough to put it down immediately, chances are you'd beat the same thing as shooting it with a .30-06 if it's that strong to put one down immediately, because it just doesn't work that way.
Well, what about traps? You can't make traps. You can't lure it in. You can't lure it in with stuff to lure in a trap. I mean, there's no such thing as trapping it.
You can trap whatever you want, Andre. And
right,
you know,
that's just
creatures we all know have intelligence. I mean, if I'm walking up and I've got some intelligence and I see this big cage hanging above a big giant piece of
I'm
not going under the cage. It's not going to happen.
There's got to be ways to make it more interesting than besides blowing them away. It should get men ticking, especially a hunter. I want to catch it alive. It should be more like a challenge. I'm looking at it, if I was a man, I would be more of a challenge. There would be a way that I would catch that thing alive, and nobody would. And there's got to be a way. And I'm thinking of different ways in my head right now. Big trenches, just building big trenches. If I had to wait a year to catch it, then I built a big old trench, and I walked away, and I whatever you do to camouflage it, and whatever you do to whatever around it, it'll go away for a while. Who's to say in a year another tribe or another resistance might come through there and might not sense it, you know. There's some way to catch it alive. There's no sense in
What if you're not watching the trap and it falls in there and then it decays before you get to it? Then you don't even know what you captured.
Well, that's called using your common sense. I built a trap out there in the woods. I better keep an eye on it, because if I don't, how am I catching me dead? It's called using common sense. I built a trap. I don't care if I had to wait a year. I'm going to catch this thing alive. And if I had the money to do it, I would catch it alive. If it took me a year, I'd catch him alive. And I would prove this is alive. It's not dead. It was done. Yeah, it took a little bit more time. It wasn't as easy, you know, as to go out and go, bang, you're dead. But I caught it alive. There it is. It's in the pit. It took me a while, but I was smart enough to figure out how to catch it.
Pardon me 1 minute. Hey, TJ, how long has your dad been chasing this thing?
God, since 1967, Kelly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's 50 years, right?
Yeah.
And in 50 years, he ain't caught it. I think the other solution's the best.
How's he trying to catch it? That's a man's ego. How's he trying to catch it? Tell me how he's trying to catch it. Is he building the caves? Is he building holes? Is he doing any kind
of Audrey,
traps? I don't know.
Speak for my father, Audrey, but I'm pretty close to him, so I kind of know just a little bit about what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking
son.
You. Yeah. How do you try to catch? I mean, seriously, I need to know.
We have tried everything in our power in
really?
The last 50 years, yes, to capture one of these creatures alive.
Wow.
Now, within the last 3 years, okay, his mood's been changing. And Why does it change? Come on, this is the obvious. He wants to be alive to prove what he saw, what he's seen, what we've all know exists is the truth. And we've got to the point where, you know, life's getting, well, to the end. And the new generation is coming on. Let me finish. Because Audrey, and I'm not bragging, and I hate even saying this, I've killed everything I could think of, okay?
Okay.
And I've been in the service, okay? And I don't want to kill anything. I want to trap. But in the last 10 years that since I've had my sighting, I have realized that I'm not going to trap one of these creatures because this creature has intelligence. It's not stupid. It has been surviving on this planet since, you know, 5,000, 10,000 years ago, and it realizes and sees that, well, he's carrying something that could kill me, whether it's a stick, a gun, a knife, who knows, okay? And these creatures, they know that if we're out in the woods and we're carrying something in our hands, we're going to kill them. So we can all agree upon they're stealthy. They can sit in an area for hours and not even move. The human eye in the woods only detects movement. I mean, you could be out there in hunter yellow, hunter orange, and most of us will not see it. But if they move for a second, our eye catches it. And that's just human nature. So I agree with you, Audrey. It's not the thing to do, but for us to prove, protect, and to place these creatures on an endangered species list, one has to take one for the team. And I'm sure we all agree upon that, so that nobody else can go out and do it. And guys, we know within this table that we're talking about, even if it's done, people are going to go out and try anyways.
Right.
Can
you know what's kind of sad?
This is Marco Bill.
Okay.
Go, Marco.
Okay. There's another issue that you need to take in consideration, and I think we do most of the time. There have been a couple of people that went out independently to hunt these things up in Canada or near Canada.
Yeah.
And two of them, one bow, one with a rifle. And neither one came back. Now, the news stories that were released, the families, they protected the families. They found the bodies a year later, and they were were killed. They weren't killed by bears or wolves. They were snapped, okay? Their bones were snapped. Okay,
wow.
And they can't prove what it was, but because they were hunting a Bigfoot, I would assume the thing that you have to take in consideration here is if you kill one of these creatures, okay, how many other creatures are on the sidelines? Now, a lot of the times when we've had encounters with these creatures, several times, not just individuals, but on the side, and rocks were thrown from the opposite direction at us as we were going through to tell us to get out of there. And so you got to take in consideration, if you shoot one, be prepared to for an onslaught, because I think they're going to try to protect their own. And of course, that's what I'm saying. It's a normal instinct, our instinct, animal instinct, to protect the family.
Well, I'll tell you what, last week.
This is Rocky.
Rocky.
In a perfect world, I would like to think that I could go out there with a stick and make one of them surrender. That's not going to happen. In the meantime, the world being this being the real world, not a perfect world, I think me and Kelly had the right idea, and that's a Marlin 4570 guide gun. You take one down, and I always carry a lot of ammunition with me, so if I take one, then the others might have a problem with it, but I can keep their head down for a little while until I can get the phone call made. But the thing of it is, like I say, in a perfect world, one would surrender, give it up for the team. But this isn't a perfect world, and the only way that we're going to be able to go in and get one, bring it out, for the most part intact, maybe not alive, but it's still, you know, it's not like we're going to get it with a hand grenade, but one takes it for the team, the rest of the team gets to go home.
Okay. You know,
that
folks,
sounds about right.
This was a wonderful, wonderful roundtable discussion. We're 15 minutes over. We're fine with that. I want to hit with each individual. You've got 30 seconds to make a statement or a comment. I want to wish everybody Happy New Year. And you know something? 2017, I know, is going to be our year. With all of our collective minds and thoughts and intelligence together, we're going to put an end to this. That's my New Year's resolution, is to put an end to this in 2017. So let's start off with Richard Substead. I mean, Richard, up in New York. Go ahead.
I want to ask Rocky when he's going to send me those possum steaks.
Hey, I'm going to send you a whole thing.
Oh, awesome. Okay, let's shoot out to Kelly in Texas.
Hey, Rocky, I just want to end a little bit of humor. You said hogs were the most destructive thing in Arkansas. I always heard it was the Clintons.
All right, the second most thing.
Awesome. Francis and Jocelyn up in Glacier.
I think we can do it. We can put an end to it. We'll find it. If it's out there, we're going to find it.
Awesome. Audrey down in Kentucky?
I think instead we can send a man to the moon, but we can't catch or kill a Sasquatch. Think about it.
Good point. Good point, honey. Marco Bill down in San Diego.
Well, I think eventually we're going to get it. It's a matter of time and the right circumstances. It's not easy. Although they're intuitive to watch us, but they're very elusive in getting away. And
awesome.
But I think we'll make it.
And this is TJ up here in Indiana, folks. The new season's coming upon us. We're going to be out on the road starting the 20th of January. We're going to get out there, and with your help and our ingenuity, with your knowledge, we're going to solve this year. So, just to put it out there, check out searchingforbigfoot.com, our Searching for Bigfoot Facebook page, our Searching for Bigfoot exclusive U.S. Sightings and Report page, where you get exclusive content while we're out in the woods. And we're only letting up to about 150 members onto that page. So once it reaches that point, nobody else gets on, and we get exclusive content there. Look for us. We're going to be the leading group on the planet looking for Bigfoot. We may not be on your TV screen. We may not be on your computer. We may not be on YouTube. But we're doing it because of you. Everybody out there that believes in us. So, once again, it's 2017. Happy New Year to everybody. Mrs. Calabas, we're coming at you. Thanks for the show, guys.
And TJ, one last word to everybody out there, all our listeners out there. If you have a sighting or you have information, go on www.bigfootliveradio.com. Up in the upper right report side, you'll see that this says sighting, reporting sighting. And click on it, and you can fill out a form, and that form will be emailed automatically out when you get done to myself or TJ. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.